This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio Energy. This is the news at 4, and I'm your presenter, Lynn Rusk. On today's programme, numbers of people facing homelessness across the UK has dramatically increased in the last year. In a report released today by Shelter Scotland, the charity details the extent of the current crisis.
We think it's unforgivable that almost 320,000 people in Britain have been swept up by this housing crisis and they've got no place to call home.
Researchers at Glasgow University have found evidence that a simple sugar supplement can slow the growth of cancer. Cancer Research UK have found this to be an exciting breakthrough.
From a patient's point of view, this research is very interesting because it is showing that there might be another way in which we can make cancer treatments more effective.
And with seal pup season upon us, the Scottish SPCA have issued advice to the public on what to do if you spot a baby seal on the beach. The UK has seen a spike in homelessness, and according to Shelter Scotland last year, one person lost their home every 18 minutes. This is the third consecutive year that the number of people living on the streets has risen, and the cause of the rise has been attributed to a multitude of issues, including welfare cuts, lack of social housing, and spiralling rents. Our correspondent Louise Wiley reports.
A report released today by homeless charity Shelter Scotland has indicated that 43,000 people became homeless in Scotland in 2017. The number of people experiencing homelessness in the UK has risen for the third consecutive year, with around 320,000 people estimated to be affected. Shelter Scotland's Deputy Director, Alison Watson, has declared the situation to be a disgrace.
We think it's unforgivable that almost 320,000 people in Britain have been swept up by this housing crisis and they've got no place to call home. Around 43,000 of these people who are homeless are here in Scotland. This is a major badge of shame in 21st century Britain.
She added that she believes the current homeless crisis is the result of a perfect storm.
I think what we're seeing is a perfect storm of spiralling rents, very harsh welfare cuts and a major lack of social housing. And this is why we're seeing record numbers of people sleeping out on the streets, stuck in poor quality temporary accommodation or cramped into hostel rooms.
We spoke to some of Edinburgh's homeless population today about their experiences living on the streets.
I've noticed there's a lot more people homeless or making it to be homeless. Imagine. And I was reading the paper today that there's like 6,000 empty properties in Edinburgh, just sitting empty all year. The only time they get used is at the festival. That's ridiculous, like, especially when there's such a big housing shortage.
Anti-poverty campaigners have in the past criticised the role of Universal Credit as contributing to deprivation. Food bank charity Tussle Trust have said, "These universal credit issues are not one-offs, and with the next stage of the system looming, problems are only likely to increase if the government doesn't acknowledge the scale of the problem and learn the lessons of rollout so far." We spoke to one man begging on Prince's Street about how the benefit changes have impacted him.
What about your benefits and that? Are they helping you with the universal credit or anything?
No, they just cut me off my benefits when I came homeless 2 weeks ago, raging.
The day-to-day situation for people on the street is grim. One woman we spoke to had been in the street for 15 months. She explained how she survived.
Where have you been sleeping? Has it been in the street?
We've got a tent, but if I get enough money, I go to a hostel. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes friends have got houses and sometimes get to stay there, but it's not very often and it's hard work.
With what promises to be a cold winter looming, rough sleepers are left particularly vulnerable.
You say you've been here a year now?
Yeah.
And where have you been sleeping? Is it in the doorways or...?
I kind of can use the churches and that, but
yeah.
I didn't go near the churches because I had the problems with the churches the last time I used them. Somebody stole a pair of boots off my feet.
Mm.
And it's not nice waking up in winter time when it's wet and miserable outside and you've got nothing to put on your feet.
New research conducted on mice and human cell lines show a sugar supplement can slow tumour growth and enhance traditional cancer treatment methods. The research commissioned by Cancer Research UK, Beetson Institute, found that if they starve the mice of glucose, a sugar that feeds cancer tumours, and instead use the sugar supplement mannose, it would affect the way in which the cancer cells use the glucose. This was found to be to the effects of chemotherapy and could increase the mice's lifespan in some cases. Our reporter Morven McIntyre has more.
Researchers from the University of Glasgow, led by Professor Kevin Ryan, found that the sugar supplement Manus has proven to slow tumour growth and also enhances the effects of chemotherapy in mice with multiple types of cancer. I spoke with Martin Ledwick, Cancer Research UK's head nurse, who has reacted to this discovery. And whilst he is not a part of the study, he said the results are promising.
From a patient's point of view, this research is very interesting because it is showing that there might be another way in which we can make cancer treatments more effective. Some traditional cancer treatments, chemotherapy for example. So if it turns out that this particular substance, when added into treatment, does have an effect in real people, then that could help to make the currents we already have work better.
However, he warns that this research is in a preliminary stage because it was only tested on mice and human cancer cells, and therefore this is not a cancer cure or a treatment yet. Cancer patients should not self-prescribe this supplement.
I would very much say that patients shouldn't self-prescribe it because we don't really know what the effect would be on patients who are having cancer treatments at the moment, and there might be something unexpected that might happen. This has to go through more research yet before we know how to use it safely.
A man has been arrested following an attack on Scottish Conservative leader Ruth Davidson's office this morning in Edinburgh. The incident happened around 11:40 this morning, and according to STV, a man was seen carrying rocks in a bag before throwing them at windows and demanding to be let into the building. According to Diabetes UK, nearly 7,000 children and young adults under 25 have type 2 diabetes in England and Wales. Type 2 diabetes is a disease typically associated with people over the age of 40. Caroline Cerny from the Obesity Health Alliance argues that we need to make changes to children's eating habits.
My children, I'll say to them if they're not hungry enough for a banana, they're not really hungry. But what we would like to see is the food that is being produced by the food industry to be lower in sugar and lower in calories. There's nothing wrong with giving your children a snack, but it doesn't need to be an oversized portion stuffed full of sugar and calories.
Type 2 diabetes is rapidly increasing in Scotland and accounts for about 87% of diabetes in the country. The 2016 Scottish Diabetes Survey by NHS reported that nearly 300,000, or about 5.4% of the whole population, had diabetes. And over to Becca Ingalls with other news.
Theresa May announced this morning the text of the terms of Britain's withdrawal and subsequent future relationship with the EU has been agreed by both parties. This comes following the negotiating teams being tasked with working all night on this agreement.
Last night in Brussels, I had a good, detailed discussion with President Juncker, in which I set out what was needed in that political declaration to deliver for the United Kingdom.
Police warned motorists this morning not to drive into London city centre between today and Saturday due to numerous road blockages caused by climate activists. The activist group Extinction Rebellion are coordinating a campaign of civil disobedience up and down the UK in response to what they call criminal inaction from the government towards climate change. Similar events are due to take place around the UK this weekend, with plans underway to block off more bridges in York tomorrow and a demonstration to be held in Edinburgh outside Scottish Parliament on Saturday. The wife of a British academic jailed for life in the United Emirates has accused the UK government of putting diplomatic relations ahead of her husband's freedom. Matthew Hedges, a PhD student at the University of Durham, yesterday pleaded guilty for spying after spending 6 months in solitary confinement in prison. The Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt has spoken of his disappointment about the turn of events and promised tough repercussions for the diplomatic relations between the two countries.
It's absolutely devastating news for Matthew Hedges, for his wife Daniela, and for his family, and we're all totally in a state of shock about it. We see absolutely no evidence for any of the charges laid against him. We're very concerned for his welfare.
The MI5 have received damning criticism for their handling of the Manchester bombings in a new report released today. Surveying five severe terror attacks in the UK last year, Parliament's Intelligence and Security Committee singled out the concert as evidence of several failings by intelligence services. Sky's Home Affairs correspondent Mark White says MPs believe the attack could have been preventable.
They say that there were opportunities where perhaps he may have been stopped, his plans uncovered. On a number of occasions, he'd gone to a prison to visit a known extremist, but there was no follow-up carried out either by the police or intelligence services.
And Edinburgh City Council have hired 12 new vehicles to help keep city roads and pavements safe this winter, which will be added to the existing fleet. In addition, a thermal map produced by infrared sensors to measure temperatures will help to identify the areas that will be more affected during the winter months.
Last night, Holyrood moved to ban the dredging of kelp off the Scottish coast. Our reporter Carly Bell has more on that story.
Last night, Scottish Parliament voted to protect the nation's kelp forests from mechanical dredging by 89 votes to zero. This move follows a campaign by MSPs and concerned parties asking the Scottish Parliament to pass an amendment to the Crown Estate Bill banning the unsustainable commercial harvesting of kelp off the Scottish coast. Prior to this vote, more than 10,000 people signed a petition asking the Scottish Government to back the banning of commercial kelp dredging following an application from a company called Marine Biopolymers to dredge 1% of Scotland's native kelp forests. Yesterday, outside the Scottish Parliament, Mark Ruskell, the Green MSP who brought the amendment forward, said of the victory.
My name is Mark Ruskell, Green Party spokesperson for the environment. I'm absolutely delighted today that we've got an acceptance for government that in the Crown Estate Bill there will be a ban on the mechanical dredging of kelp in a way that removes it from the seabed. It's really important that we protect our kelp forests. They're our last great wilderness. They're hugely important for biodiversity, hugely important to protect our coastlines, and they support lots of industries, the wild fish sector, so the hand harvesting kelp sector as well.
Gail Ross, an SNP MSP who supported this campaign, said in the chamber following the decision to back the amendment that this was a big step towards ensuring the sustainability of the local kelp.
In supporting these amendments on the restriction on removal of wild kelp from the seabed, we not only ensure the sustainability of the marine environment, but also the sustainability of the local hand harvesters who do so much to manage the kelp supply.
Gail Ross then went on to counter claims made by people in industry that the amendment seeks to restrict economic and research opportunities.
Presiding Officer, some people in industry have been quoted recently as saying that this gives out the wrong message economically. I don't agree. I would say it sends out the correct message environmentally. Thank you.
And finally, the Scottish SPCA has issued a message to the public to keep an eye out for baby seals this autumn and winter along our coastlines. With seal pup season upon us, reporter Gemma Stroyan took to the East Lothian beaches to report on the popular mammals.
Every year, the Scottish SPCA rescues thousands of sick, injured and orphaned wildlife. As there is due to be an influx of baby seals along the coastlines this winter, the SSPCA are urging members of the public to contact their animal helpline if they see a distressed seal pup lying on the shore this winter.
This is what the SSPCA Seal Squad want us to know.
This autumn and winter season, we expect to care for over 100 grey seal pups of various ages. Grey seals come ashore to give birth in autumn and winter, which is why we see such an increase at this time of year. We are urging the public not to approach seal pups which have come ashore and to keep dogs on a lead in case they frighten them into the water. If you spot a pup with a white coat...
I spoke to Francesca Clark, Education Officer at the Seabird Centre in North Berwick, about her expertise on these marine mammals and their popularity at this time of year along our local coastlines.
The islands here in the Firth of the Forth are an incredibly important breeding ground, so the pups are actually here because they're on the islands. They need to wait to put on quite a substantial amount of weight in between when they've been born and actually when they take to the water. It's usually about 6 weeks or so.
How would someone or a member of the public know whether to call a helpline or to leave a pup alone in its best interest?
Yeah, that can be a really difficult one. But of course, it's being able to recognise, actually, is this pup in distress? Most of the time, the best thing to do is to leave the pup alone, particularly if you have a dog with you. You definitely want to make sure that you've got them on a lead. If the pup is showing any obvious signs of distress or injury, for instance, is it tangled in a bit of fishing net? Is there maybe some blood there? Absolutely the best thing to do is to get straight on the phone and call the SSPCA.
It's a beautifully calm day and I'm here in Preston Pans along the East Lothian coastline, a popular place for dog walking, but more importantly, a place where seals are often spotted. Now, the beauty of the conditions out here being so calm is that you can see any movement on the water. I've stood here for a while and seen many birds,
and was getting a little bit disheartened at not sighting a seal. However, I have just seen one about 100 yards away in the water, swimming along, bobbing up and down. And I'm so tempted to get out there. I can see it again now.
Whilst out on the coast in East Lothian, I spoke to local dog walker Dean McWilliams about the SSPCA's message.
Do you walk down here regularly?
Yeah, all the time, yeah. Every day.
And do you ever see seals yourself?
Most days.
Would you know what to do if you saw a baby seal on the beach?
Yeah, I would weave it and inform somebody, because you don't know where the mother's going to be.
Sure. So you're here with your dog today. What's your dog called?
That's Nova.
Nova. Hi, Nova. All right, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
To stay up to date with any of the seals brought into the Scottish SPCA, follow the hashtag SSPCA Seal Squad on social media. And now for the weather. In Edinburgh, it's been mostly cloudy with light rain and cold winds expected throughout the day and maximum temperatures of 7 degrees Celsius. These weather conditions are forecasted to continue throughout the rest of the week and weekend. And for local travel, traffic is running smoothly this afternoon across the city, although drivers may expect some delays on Gorgie Road due to construction works. All rail services are running on time across Edinburgh this afternoon, and there are no flight disruptions to report. That's all for the news today from Radio Energy. I'm Lynn Rusk, and have a great evening.
This is Radio Energy. Edinburgh, Napier, Radio Group. Talk, tunes, tales, and talent. From Edinburgh to you.